Well, hello there, and welcome back to the Gordon Experience, the only podcast that effectively balances information, perspective, activism, and fun. Now, today's topic on the table are NGOs, or non-governmental organizations, and their effectiveness in helping to solve the issue of poverty in nations around the world, and possible corruption amongst many of these organizations. Now, what is an NGO? An NGO is defined as simply a non-governmental organization that is generally non-profit and is active in promoting some sort of social change. Now, this could be helping to provide aid for people after a natural disaster, helping people who are suffering from diseases in countries around the world, but I will be focusing specifically on poverty NGOs, which aim to help people in impoverished countries by providing aid in the form of education, food, clothing, supplies, and more. Now, these organizations are extremely prevalent in impoverished countries and rely on donation-based aid that is highly encouraged throughout wealthier nations, such as here in the United States and the United Kingdom. Now, it's easy to look at these NGOs and see them as solely a force for good in the world, and in many ways, this is true. They do provide the necessary aid and money for people who are, in many cases, living in extreme poverty and living in an environment when they cannot provide for themselves, and they need some sort of charity to help them to even survive on a daily basis. However, today I'm going to dive a little deeper into the actual numbers regarding the successes and failures of NGOs and other charitable organizations to eventually, hopefully, answer the question, do NGOs actually benefit, or do they inhibit the development of impoverished countries? Now, to do this, I will examine specific examples of organizations in various countries in order to try to come to some conclusions about the corruption and varying success rates of organizations claiming to help solve the issue of poverty. So let's talk about the problem that many people have begun to notice with a lot of these organizations claiming to be non-governmental and charity-based organizations. Now, many have begun to argue that these aid-based charities, though they preached as being a major factor in the eradication of poverty, in fact are only a distraction from the actual issue. Though charitable donations can act as a short-term benefit, these people are saying that in actuality, impoverished countries suffer far more from other issues. For example, a depletion of resources and a corrupt government of their own. Now, Africa is a perfect example of this. They're one of the most impoverished continents in the world, in most, and they lose hundreds of billions of dollars a year in resources to other countries around the world and to their own governments. However, aid organizations that are claiming to be bringing in all of this money and all of this aid to the people of Africa are only returning a fraction of these resources that are lost. For example, last year, only $30 billion of the nearly $200 billion in resources that was lost in Africa was actually returned from these charities. Now, this begs an important question, which is, what is actually the most contributing factor to the eradication of poverty in a place such as Africa? Now, according to these charitable organizations, aid is the most important factor. That's one of the most important parts of their messages. However, these numbers in Africa are striking. It is clear that if African resources were used to their full potential, there could be a flourishing economy in which the African people could provide a much better lifestyle for themselves and their families. However, due to countries like the United States taking advantage of Africa's resources for their own benefit and then attempting to make up for it publicly with things such as NGOs, Africa is not able to take advantage of their resources and instead is suffering because of it. And in addition to not acknowledging the actual root of the problem, the existence of many NGOs have led to three other major problems that I've noted. Number one, the public has become disillusioned because they've been told their donations are helping to solve poverty. However, in many ways, we can all see the fight against poverty has been somewhat unsuccessful in many of these impoverished nations, and there's not clear change being made, and many of these organizations are not very transparent with how people's donations are directly being contributed to helping people, which leads many to believe that a high percentage of the donations are not actually going directly to what these companies say they're going to, because the actual money spending is not made public, and people think that this is because of corruption and people in these organizations taking large cuts of the money that is being brought in. The second problem is that advertisements and stereotypes amongst these organizations create a false perception of people in poverty as being unproductive and inferior and desperately in need of wealthier people's help to survive. And this is obviously a marketing tactic that is obviously seen through celebrities, and it's not always with malicious intent, but it does create this kind of story of people in African nations, for example, and other impoverished nations as not being able to fend for themselves. And a lot of people in these nations are stating how this sort of mindset around the world is exactly what's actually holding them back, because it's not allowing them to move forward, because NGOs are always pushing to help and be there and not allow these people to actually make something of themselves and fight for themselves and fight out of poverty. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't provide aid at all, because obviously it's necessary a lot. However, there is this false perception around the world that people in these countries are just incompetent, which needs to change. And the third problem with NGOs is that many of these organizations are not encouraging legitimate action to be taken amongst the public. And that's not to say that aid isn't taking action of sort. However, they portray aid as, once again, being the end-all, be-all solution to the problem. And this allows people to give $10 to an organization and feel that they are playing a very impactful role. And whether or not that may be true, we have enough information to know that a lot more needs to be done than just aid-based charity for these problems to be solved. And a lot of times, NGOs don't get that narrative across. They push the narrative that charity is the solution, and people need to get off that mindset so that they can take legitimate action. And to look more specifically at the issue, I'm going to look at the country of Haiti today, and I will focus on Haiti because it has more NGOs per capita than any other country in the world. Many Haitians even ironically refer to their country as the Republic of NGOs. And it's good to examine the use of NGOs following the Haiti earthquake, because this is kind of a classic example of when NGOs will go into a country and kind of take over and promote a ton of change and raise large amounts of money, which is great. But again, there's that deeper level to how this is actually impacting the country over time. Now, if we look at the American Red Cross, for example, which is arguably the most impactful and well-known NGO in our country, if not the world, they obviously responded to the Haiti earthquake with astounding numbers. It is estimated that they raised around $255 million in relief for the Haiti earthquake. However, what a lot of people don't know is that it's also estimated that only about $106 million of that total was actually used directly for Haitian relief. Now, this relief is categorized as anything from food packs to rebuilding homes, anything of that sort. So that means that over 50% of this money was used for some other funding that's unknown to the public. And this is a problem for many reasons. People think that they're donating their money that is going to directly help somebody in need in Haiti, and it's clear that it's not. However, the Red Cross is not open with their funding, despite several lawsuits having to do with this, and therefore people are unaware of where their money is actually going. And they still advertise as if close to 100% of these donations are helping, when clearly this is not true. In addition to this, it is clear that their aid, though it helped to relieve the issue at the time, has not made a long-term impact. 8 years later, in 2018, we see that 25% of people in Haiti still live in extreme poverty. Around 50% of kids still do not attend school. Yet, we see that 8 years later, after the earthquake, Haiti still has the most NGOs out of any country in the world. Now, there is a clear disconnect and problem here. And we must ask the question that if these NGOs were actually successful in creating better environments, better economies for these people to live in, and not just providing very short-term aid, they wouldn't be there anymore. 8 years later, NGOs would not be as necessary in Haiti, because there would be a stronger infrastructure and more resources for people to use to actually create something for themselves. Because the whole basis of an NGO is not allowing people to create something for themselves. It's giving it to them. And that there's a problem with that, because that's not how people escape poverty. That's how people live a few days more. Now, again, there's no doubt that there's much good work done in Haiti with NGOs and other charity organizations. However, they can also cause much harm, as we see, that is not recognized by the public. Again, the major problem lies similarly to Africa in the fact that the Haitian government lacks proper resources and therefore cannot provide for its people. However, NGOs distract from this issue as well, and almost no time and money is dedicated towards these problems of resources. That opens up an entirely different discussion with why these resources are to be taken away, and we can cover that another time. However, fraud and corruption are all extremely apparent in Haiti, which makes things difficult. However, we can certainly talk about how the incredible amounts of meddling and intervention and the constant presence of NGOs in Haiti taking place following the quake, the state of the Haitian government and society was weakened and delegitimized in both the eyes of Haitians and the rest of the world. These NGOs basically came in and took over society, began to ran things, and again, created this narrative that the Haitians really needed them, needed there to be an NGO on every block, providing some different sort of aid that they preached that the Haitians couldn't provide for themselves. And this is no way for people to escape poverty. And many are even arguing that NGOs need to be removed from Haiti altogether, because though they help the poor, they in no way help them to escape poverty. Now, I'll close by posing the question once again. You feel that now, after hearing more of this information and more of the opposing arguments that are generally not heard on this subject, you feel that NGOs are still benefiting countries and helping to eradicate poverty? Or do you feel that they inhibit the development of these countries and are not helping as much as people may think in this fight? And if so, how should things be changed? Should NGOs be removed from countries altogether? Does the structure of how NGOs work in general need to be changed? Or should they remain as a constant helping people with their daily lives? However, should focus just be shifted, maybe, to more of the root of the problem in a lot of these countries? That's all for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. And again, this has been the Gordon Experience, the only podcast that effectively balances information, perspective, activism, and fun. I hope you had fun today, and we'll see you tomorrow.